all at the same time. He'd hired Jerry Goldsmith to do the music, but over budget and over schedule, and next thing you know, in comes John Williams, who creates a legend. In some 40-odd years since of making movies about superheroes, I don't think any other hero has been quite so musically established as what John Williams did in 1978. You can certainly tell that James Gunn and the team that made last year's version of Superman, they feel the same way. Just a little bit there from composers John Murphy and David Fleming from the most recent version of Superman, rendered lovingly with some of that old John Williams magic. Jerry Goldsmith, that's another name I started noticing on a lot of my favorite old films. He was another grandee of American film music, and over the coming weeks we're going to be hearing a lot of his work. He may have lost his chance to write the music for Superman, but over the course of a very long career he had plenty of opportunities to contribute to my childhood fun. Who remembers The Explorers from 1985? It's a movie about three kids who, with a little know-how and a little invention, build a spaceship in their own backyard, and with a little help from a little inertia-canceling alien technology. It starred a very young Ethan Hawke and River Phoenix and actor Jason Presson. This was a movie of high imagination, and Jerry Goldsmith contributed a wondrous score. Next on Film Music Friday, Jerry Goldsmith's music from The Explorers, here on KPR.
Thank you.
music by Jerry Goldsmith from the film The Explorers, a glorious little science fiction yarn from 1985, the story of teenagers who explore outer space in their own homemade spacecraft here on Kansas Public Radio. More than a few times, Jerry Goldsmith explored the realms of outer space in his music, but he also explored haunted realms of inner space. A bit later on Film Music Friday, music from Jerry Goldsmith from the film Poltergeist, still to come here on a Friday evening. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Kansas State University, where K-State Extension experts provide education and resources in all 105 counties to support farmers, families, and communities across Kansas. More information at k-state.edu. And Blue Collar Press, located in Lawrence, Kansas. Blue Collar Press helps businesses and creatives build their brands through merchandising, from design to production to fulfillment. More information at bluecollarpress.com. I promised you high adventure. Movies in the 1980s were great for that. Next on Film Music Friday, we have music from a pair of great adventure movies. Well, maybe not great, but astounding music, certainly. First, we'll hear music from composer Basil Poledouris from Conan the Barbarian, the movie that gave us Arnold. And that's going to be followed by James Horner from a little 1983 sword and sorcery epic known as Krull. We'll hear the sound of a charge of heroes on the backs of magical horses. Next, on Film Music Friday, here on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
by James Horner from the 1983 film Krull. We heard Ride of the Fire Mares, magical horses who travel at great speeds and leave trails of fire in their wake. Before that, a few selections from Conan the Barbarian, music by composer Basil Polidorus, here on Film Music Friday on Kansas Public Radio. Thanks for being with us here on a Friday evening. There's much more in the old toy box still to come. More music from Jerry Goldsmith. And before the hour is through, I should have a little something for you from an old 1997 picture called Oscar and Lucinda, starring Ralph Fiennes and Cate Blanchett. That's still to come in this evening's Film Music Friday. More programming, less fundraising. That's always our goal here at KPR. One way you can help is to make a pledge on Friday morning, March 27th. When your pledge will be matched dollar for dollar by generous KPR members. We'll try to squeeze an entire day's fundraising into just 90 minutes, but we can't do it without you. Join us for the Power Breakfast on Friday morning, March 27th, from 7 to 8:30 a.m. here on KPR. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the First Judicial District CASA Association in Leavenworth, offering supervised visitation and safe custody exchanges at the Child Exchange and Visitation Center. Details at casalvks.org. So we just heard music from Conan and Krull, two movies from the early 1980s that both benefited greatly from an increase in audience demand for science fiction and fantasy movies that all came in the wake of the release of Star Wars in 1977. Next on Film Music Friday, more from John Williams and music from Star Wars, the very first Star Wars, by which I mean the fourth, Episode 4, A New Hope, wherein our heroes mount their final desperate attack upon the dreaded Death Star, next on Kansas Public Radio. Our heroes have destroyed the Death Star, and with it the Empire's myth of invincibility, in 1977's Star Wars, Episode 4, A New Hope. You do have to be specific about that, because Star Wars fans love to argue about Star Wars. But if there's one thing they don't argue about, the music by John Williams is sensational. Growing up in the 1980s, it wasn't always about spaceships or fantasy or adventure. Sometimes it was about sheer terror. And as a young person, when I saw the movie Poltergeist, I found exactly that. This was Steven Spielberg's haunted house picture, where you found child-eating trees, child-eating closets, demonic clowns, and ghosts from another dimension. We went hard back in the 1980s, and so too did composer Jerry Goldsmith, who provided a thrilling score. Music from Poltergeist, next on Film Music Friday. from 1982, music by Jerry Goldsmith from the film Poltergeist, here on Film Music Friday. Not long to go now until the news from NPR at the top of the hour. Much more still to come in our evening of film music together. Hope you're having a good time. I want to play one more for you this hour, and this one is not a science fiction story, not a fantasy or anything like that. This one is a romance. Music from a film back in 1997 called Oscar and Lucinda, a story set in 19th century England and starring Ralph Fiennes and Cate Blanchett. He's a repressed Anglican preacher. She's the more free-spirited owner of a glassworks. They don't have very much in common except for one thing. They're both compulsive gamblers. Whether it's cards, dice, or ponies, these two live for the wager. And he wagers her that if her glassworks can build it, he can deliver himself downriver to a missionary colony in the deepest Australian outback, a church made entirely of glass, something he feels he has to do to prove his love for her. The music was provided by composer Thomas Newman. We'll hear The Church of Glass on Film Music Friday on KPR. Music by composer Thomas Newman from the 1997 romance Oscar and Lucinda, here on Kansas Public Radio. Just about time for NPR News. There's much more still to come. Music from Last of the Mohicans, Unbreakable, Chicken Run, and much more still to come on Film Music Friday on KPR. If you've enjoyed the program this evening, be sure to let us know. Or if you think the show needs to be taken in an entirely different direction, yeah, let us know that as well. You can do that all over at kansaspublicradio.org under Film Music Friday. You'll also have a chance to listen to this show on demand, although just between you and me, I'm still kind of learning how to do that, so it might be a day or two. Let us know what you think all over at kansaspublicradio.org. And thanks.
At Morning Edition, we take you to the places where the news is breaking so you get a clear idea of what's happening and why.
The Trump administration repeatedly called the protesters anarchists and insurrectionists, and this is simply not the case. I was there. These protests have been massive.
Listen for the latest developments on the biggest news stories every weekday morning on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition, every weekday from 5 to 9 a.m. here at your place to find NPR News. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3, KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. Online, of course, at kansaspublicradio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration from limiting reporters' access to the Pentagon. U.S. District Judge Paul Friedman in Washington, D.C. sided with the New York Times and ruled that the Pentagon policy illegally restricts the credentials of reporters, including NPR's, who walked out of the building rather than agree to the new rules last year. The Times sued the Pentagon and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth in December, claiming the credentialing policy violates the journalist's constitutional rights to free speech and due process. Kuwait Petroleum says drones targeted one of its oil refineries today, setting different parts of it on fire. As oil and gas prices continue to soar from the U.S., Israeli war on Iran. NPR's Aya Batraoui has the latest.
The state-owned Qatar Energy gave a detailed breakdown of the damage to its Ras Laffan complex from Iran's missile attack Wednesday night. The company says the attack slashed its capacity to export liquefied natural gas by some 17% and says it will take up to 5 years to repair the damage. Qatar says this will impact supplies to China, South Korea, Italy, and Belgium. And Qatar says a facility operated by Shell that converts natural gas into fuels for engine oil and lubricants was also struck that night and will be offline for at least a year. Iran attacked these vital Qatari sites in response to an Israeli attack on Iran's most important gas facility. Qatar and Iran share the world's biggest gas reserve in the Persian Gulf. Aya Batraoui, NPR News, Dubai.
Cuban doctors working abroad are a major source of money for the Cuban government, but more than a half a dozen countries have started sending those doctors home or phasing out the arrangement. As NPR's Gabriela Emanuel reports, this comes as a result of U.S. pressure.
For more than 60 years, Cuba has sent doctors and other medical professionals abroad to work in underserved communities. The Cuban government is often paid a hefty sum, and the doctors make a small fraction of that. Stephanie Panichelli Bataya is at the University of Warwick in the UK.
It is the highest income of foreign funds for Cuba. So it's a huge support to the Cuban economy.
The U.S. calls the system human trafficking, and it has threatened to cut off U.S. assistance to countries that participate. Now Guatemala, Jamaica, Guyana, Honduras, and others are bowing out of their arrangements with Cuba or are trying to pay the doctors directly. Gabriela Emanuel, NPR News.
A federal judge has ruled that the government overreached when it declared certain types of gender-affirming care unsafe for young people. The ruling's part of a multi-state lawsuit filed against Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The judge says Kennedy did not follow administrative procedures when he issued the declaration in December. The declaration warns doctors that they could be excluded from federal health programs if they provide treatments such as gender-affirming surgery and puberty blockers. U.S. stocks sank again today. The S&P 500 fell 1.5%. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from FJC, A foundation of donor-advised funds working to maximize the impact of charitable giving and to create customized philanthropic solutions. Learn more at fjc.org. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. Music by composer Trevor Jones. We heard Promontory from the 1992 film adaptation of The Last of the Mohicans with Daniel Day-Lewis, a tale of love and conflict during the French and Indian War, here on KPR on Film Music Friday. Good evening and welcome once again. I'm Jeff Watson, with you tonight on my first evening as host of Film Music Friday. Hope everybody's feeling okay about it. There's still quite a bit more in the old toy box of my old favorite film recordings to share with you. Coming up this hour, we've got music from Chicken Run, Princess Mononoke, music from Howard Shore and Lord of the Rings. And I'm more than a little bit sure that we'll have a bit more John Williams for you as well as the evening goes on. Thanks for being a part of Film Music Friday here on Kansas Public Radio. We are about ready, for the moment anyway, to leave behind the era of the 1980s. What we're going to listen to next is from a film released back in the year 2000, one of the M. Night Shyamalan movies. And this one, too, is a bit of a personal favorite of mine. You know how we open the last hour with music from Superman, yes? Well, this is a movie about a man who doesn't know that he's Superman. Bruce Willis plays David Dunn, a man living an essentially joyless existence right up until the day he becomes convinced that he may be a superhero after walking away from a horrific train accident without injury because his skeleton is made of iron. Music from the 2000 film Unbreakable, with a score provided by a frequent M. Night Shyamalan collaborator, composer James Newton Howard. Next on Film Music Friday. Some very emotional music there provided by composer James Newton Howard from the 2000 film Unbreakable here on Film Music Friday. There's much more still to come for you this evening. In just a few short minutes, we'll have music by Howard Shore from Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, to be specific. Still to come on Film Music Friday. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics, where former Kansas State Senator Jeff King and journalist Mark McCormick host Liberty in a Pluralistic Society. March 25th at 4 p.m. More at doleinstitute.org. I must say, I really did enjoy James Newton Howard's music from the film Unbreakable, but even I have to admit that it is a bit on the dour side, that music. After all, the film is about a depressed man struggling with questions of purpose and meaning in life. I hear you asking out there, have you got anything that's a little bit more cheerful? And the answer is, why yes. And time for that very thing right now. We're going to listen to music from another film released in the year 2000 called Chicken Run, a claymation feature brought to us by the same team behind Wallace and Gromit, Peter Lord and Nick Park. And this one is all about, well, a bunch of English lady chickens trying to escape from their chicken coop, depicted in the film as a sort of prison gulag. They need to escape before they're all turned into meat pies when the egg business starts going south. And they come to the conclusion that the only way out is to fly out. Now, I don't have to tell you that chickens can't fly. Or can they? What if, say, for example, they could convert their chicken coop into some sort of crazy flying contraption? And that is essentially the setup. The music was a joint effort between composers John Powell and Harry Gregson Williams, and the two of them turned in a very marvelous and energetic score to this fun little cartoon. I'd like to play for you a few moments from this movie, one where they're building their flying contraption and another when they're just about to launch it. Next on Film Music Friday, music from Chicken Run on Kansas Public Radio. Some delightful music there from the composers John Powell and Harry Gregson-Williams from the 2000 claymation film Chicken Run, here on Film Music Friday on Kansas Public Radio. One of these days I'm going to have to put together a whole program of music from animated pictures. There's quite a lot there of great quality that you might not expect. We've got some music for you next from another animated film, this one from back in 1997. I will admit that while I'm not a huge fan, I am somewhat of a fan of the animes, in particular those productions that come from Studio Ghibli and its main creator Hayao Miyazaki, creator of films like Castle in the Sky and Princess Nausicaa, all lovingly rendered in pastel colors and gorgeous visions of dreamlike fantastical worlds. What we're going to hear next is from a film that I actually caught back in 1997 when it was released in Liberty Hall here in Lawrence, Kansas, a movie that introduced me to the music of composer Joe Hisashi. This is music from Princess Mononoke, an animated feature where our hero is not the titular character, but a young prince named Ashitaka who has been demonically cursed and exiled from his people. The Princess Mononoke is the name of a feral girl raised by wolves, who he has to team up with to save the existence of an animating forest spirit during the earliest days of Japan's industrialization. Next on Film Music Friday, music from Princess Mononoke on Kansas Public Radio.
Yeah.
music there from a 1997 animated film by Hayao Miyazaki. We listened to Women's Work Song and The Legend of Ashitaka from Princess Mononoke with music from composer Joe Hisashi here on Kansas Public Radio. We're not too far away, I think, from just a little bit more John Williams music to help close the program. Stay with us in a few minutes for music from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, still to come tonight on Film Music Friday. Glad you could join me this evening. They say that the best way to start the day is with a good breakfast. The best way for KPR to start our spring membership drive is going to be with our Power Breakfast next Friday morning, March 27th, from 7 to 8:30 a.m. And that's going to be when your pledge will be matched dollar for dollar by generous KPR members. There's no better way for you to make your pledge to KPR go farther. Join us for the Power Breakfast on Friday morning, March 27th. I guess there's no time like the present to bring you one more sword and sorcery epic. But this one's the big one. Back in the year 2000, composer Howard Shore joined director Peter Jackson and his team down in New Zealand to do what at the time very few people thought was possible, to make a comprehensive and all-encompassing film version of The Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien's three-book saga, with Howard Shore's music providing the much-needed epic flavor. A few selections from The Fellowship of the Ring by Howard Shore, next on Kansas Public Radio. Thank you. so begins the quest of the Fellowship of the Ring to destroy the evil Ring of Power. In Fellowship of the Ring, from the Lord of the Rings, with music by Howard Shore, here on Kansas Public Radio. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the Lead Center, welcoming the Bill T. Jones Arnie Zane Company, a group that has shaped contemporary dance over the last 40 years. Tuesday, March 31st, 7:30 p.m. Tickets available at lead.ku.edu and Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise. Theme and selections from Taxi Driver, a little smooth night music provided by composer Bernard Herrmann, already an elder statesman of American film music back in 1976 when he showed what director Martin Scorsese was all about. You're listening to Film Music on a Friday evening. We're getting a little close to the end now, and I've got a grand finale in store for you. We'll have one more go-around later with the music of John Williams. From Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, still to come, here on KPR. I do hope you've been enjoying the music this evening. If so, be sure to let us know, or if not, yes, let us know that as well. You can do it over at kansaspublicradio.org under Film Music Friday. Before we get to our grand finale, I promised you at the outset that there'd be more music by Alan Silvestri, and it's time for it now. Here again, we find him working with director Robert Zemeckis, this time to tell the story of Tom Hanks, who spends 4 years of his life lost on a desert island after a horrible plane crash. Music from the film Castaway from 2000, something that I play every once in a while whenever I feel a little bit down, a little bit rudderless, and a little bit in need of a new beginning. Here's the music on Kansas Public Radio. Music from the 2000 film Castaway, Robert Zemeckis and Tom Hanks, and music by Alan Silvestri here on Film Music Friday. Just a couple of minutes to go now until the top of the hour, followed by news from NPR and jazz throughout the evening. I've enjoyed sharing the film music with you this evening. Folks, I hope you feel the same way. I've got one more for you before the hour is through, and as you may have been able to guess, it's some more John Williams. Of everything the man ever wrote, this is probably the thing that feels the most like Saturday mornings as I knew them as a kid. Pretty soon it will be Saturday morning. We've got music for you now from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom on Film Music Friday. finishing this hour of film music the way any good movie does, with a nice end credit sequence. Music from John Williams and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, here on Film Music Friday. I'm Jeff Watson. Thanks for joining me this evening. I'll be back with you next Friday evening with more film music. From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, KANQ Chanute, online at kansaspublicradio.org, or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump posted on social media tonight that his administration is getting close to meeting its objectives during the war in Iran and considering winding down military efforts. But earlier in the day, the administration deployed more warships and another 2,500 Marines to the region, and the Pentagon is asking for an additional $200 billion in funding for the war. Trump also called NATO allies cowards for not joining operations to secure the critical Strait of Hormuz. The war has tested Trump's traditional approach of negotiating through threats. Over the last week, the president has run into some significant political limits, as NPR's Tamara Keith explains.
Trump didn't build a case for this war with the American public or with traditional allies. He didn't build a coalition of the willing in advance. And now he's coming in after the fact, telling Americans high gas prices are a small price to pay for defeating the Iranian threat, and slamming the NATO alliance for not sending in ships to help open the Strait of Hormuz. It's much harder to get buy-in after the fact.
NPR's Tamara Keith reporting. Georgia is the first state to suspend its gas tax in response to the war in Iran, which has caused fuel prices to spike. From member station WABE, Raul Bally reports the suspension takes effect immediately.
Lawmakers cheered after Governor Brian Kemp signed the 60-day suspension of the state's motor fuel tax that was quickly pushed through the legislature this week.
In the coming days and weeks, as retailers get new shipments of motor fuel, those prices on the billboards will not include the 33-cent excise tax on gasoline and the 37-cent tax on diesel fuel.
Like the rest of the nation, Georgia has seen gas prices jump since the war in Iran started. According to AAA, regular unleaded has jumped more than a dollar a gallon to $3.79. It's been even worse for diesel, which has jumped from $3.61 a gallon to $5.25 a gallon. For NPR News, I'm Raul Bally in Atlanta.
A federal jury has found Elon Musk liable for attempting to drive down Twitter's stock prices ahead of his takeover in 2022. Katie DeBenedetti with member station KQED reports.
The civil lawsuit accused Musk of making misleading statements about the number of bots on Twitter and falsely saying that his takeover was temporarily on hold. Attorneys for the former stockholders say the billionaire was trying to manipulate the market to get a better deal. Here's attorney Mark Molumphy speaking outside the courtroom.
The jury's verdict sends a strong message that just because you're a rich and powerful person, you still have to obey the law, and no man is above the law.
Musk's legal team declined to comment. The plaintiff's attorneys estimate Musk could owe up to $2.6 billion in damages. For NPR News, I'm Katie DeBenedetti in San Francisco.
This is NPR News from Washington. Federal prosecutors are asking a judge to drop charges against two Louisville police officers tied to the raid that killed Breonna Taylor. The officers have been charged with falsifying parts of the warrant used to enter her apartment in March 2020. Police shot and killed Taylor after they broke down her door, serving a no-knock warrant, and her boyfriend fired at the officers. The Trump administration is suing Harvard University over allegations that the Ivy League school violated Jewish students' civil rights. It's the latest action in the administration's ongoing back and forth with Harvard, as NPR's Alyssa Nadworny reports.
The suit says that Harvard failed to protect its Jewish and Israeli students by being deliberately indifferent to harassment and hostility, and for not enforcing campus rules when it comes to Jewish students. The suit, filed in federal district court in Massachusetts, is looking to recover millions of taxpayer dollars from Harvard. In a statement, the university said it has taken steps to curb anti-Semitism and cares deeply about its Jewish and Israeli community. The Trump administration has launched multiple legal actions against Harvard University in the last year. Just last month, the Justice Department sued Harvard over admissions records. Alyssa Nadworny, NPR News.
A real live and fluffy possum was found among stuffed animals in an Australian airport gift shop. A browsing passenger first spotted the marsupial peering out from among the stuffed kangaroos on the display shelf. The airport says it's still a mystery how the possum got into the store and how long it spent there. Staff were able to remove the possum from the airport unharmed. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Wallace Foundation, an independent, nonpartisan research foundation collaborating with grantees and partners in the arts, school leadership, and youth development. More at wallacefoundation.org. This is NPR.
Hey, welcome to another hour of All Night Jazz here on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Tom Parkinson. Let's start this hour with something that was released in 2024 from the saxophonist Adrian Cunningham. On this cut, he's on tenor saxophone. We've got David Kokoski on the piano, along with Yasushi Nakamura on bass, and Clarence Penn is the drummer. Here's their take on one of George Gershwin's most well-known compositions from Porgy and Bess. There goes guitarist Bobby Broom with Ben Patterson on the Hammond B3 and Kobe Watkins on drums. We listen to Summer Breeze. And before that, Summertime from Adrian Cunningham, the tenor saxophonist, here on Kansas Public Radio. Well, we just listened to a couple of summer songs. You can't have summer until you have spring. And here's one from another guitar and organ trio. This time it's Dan Adler on guitar with Joey DeFrancesco on the organ, and Byron Landham is the drummer. This is from Dan Adler's disc Back to the Bridge from back in 2010. And here's Clifford Brown's Joy Spring.
Thank you. wild spring, where the world was writing verses like yours and mine. All the lads and girls would sing while we sat at little tables and drank May wine. Now April, May, and June are sadly out of tune. Life has stuck a pin in my balloon. Thank you. breeze, do you like me? Stars at peace. Why doesn't the night invite me? Maybe. Thank you.
There's the Red Garland Trio from 1964 with Paul Chambers on bass and Art Taylor on the drums. And some bad news from them. They say spring will be a little late this year. But Tierney Sutton, we heard right before that, and she says spring is here. Tierney Sutton from her album Unsung Heroes. And she was accompanied on that by Christian Jacob on piano. That was Trey Henry on the bass and Ray Brinker on drums. And we started that set with Joy Spring from the guitarist Dan Adler with Joey DeFrancesco and Byron Landom in his trio, Clifford Brown's Joy Spring. It's All Night Jazz here on Kansas Public Radio. Moving on now to a couple of things written by Neil Hefti. Couple of things in a bassy vein coming up here. This is from trumpeter Ray Vega, and Orrin Evans is at the piano with Michael Glynn and Roy McCurdy on bass and drums. Here's Neil Hefti's Girl Talk.
Thank you.
And there's the Count Basie Band from 1966 from Live at the Sands with Basie at the piano. And a wonderful band of 1966, that one featuring Marshall Royal on alto saxophone. Live at the Sands, we heard a Neil Hefti composition, Splanky. Three Neil Hefti tunes, actually. The one that we heard right before that was Cute, the name of the tune, from the Kansas City Jazz Orchestra. This is from the album they released about 20 years ago. Doug Talley and Kerry Strayer in the saxophone section, Stan Kessler, one of the trumpeters, and in the rhythm section, Charles Williams on piano, Rod Fleeman on guitar, Theodore Wilson on the bass, and that was Harold Jones on drums. That was a Neil Hefti tune, Cute, and we started out with Neil Hefti's Girl Talk, trumpeter Ray Vega. Well, we just heard guitarist Rod Fleeman playing with the Kansas City Jazz Orchestra, as I said, about 20 years ago. Here's something much more recent from Rod. It was released a couple of years ago, Saturday afternoon, live at the Green Lady Lounge. This is one of his compositions, Boogaloo Woman, guitarist Rod Fleeman. Thank you. There's guitarist Rod Fleeman with Gerald Spates on the bass and Ray DeMarchi on the drums. Rod Fleeman Trio, Saturday afternoon, live at the Green Lady Lounge. That was Boogaloo Woman. And you can hear music live from the Green Lady Lounge here on Kansas Public Radio every weekend, Saturdays at 6 and Sundays at 9 p.m. here on Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute 90.3.
Support for Jazz on KPR comes from the KU Natural History Museum, offering memberships to help support the museum's mission of studying life, past and present on Earth, to educate, engage, and inspire. Membership details at biodiversity.ku.edu. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the First Judicial District CASA Association in Leavenworth, serving children and families through the CASA program, where trained volunteers advocate for abused and neglected children in court. Details at casalvks.org.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 73 and fair. Wind is from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight clear with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night clear with a low in the low 60s. It's 73 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather for Northeast Kansas.
Live from NPR News, I'm Dale Willman. 3 weeks into the U.S.-Israeli war with Iran, more American Marines are on their way to the Middle East. And as NPR's Quill Lawrence reports, more than 2,000 Marines are being deployed.
The USS Boxer group of three ships carrying thousands of Marines from the 11th Marine Expeditionary Unit has left California and will take about 3 weeks to reach the Gulf, according to two U.S. officials who are not authorized to speak publicly. That's in addition to the USS Tripoli group, with more than 2,000 Marines, expected to arrive soon from Japan. CENTCOM would not comment on the deployment or its mission, but Marines are traditionally ground troops. Quill Lawrence, NPR News.
The average price of regular gas in the U.S. is now $3.91. Now, NPR's Camilla Domonoske reports that Internet search data show more people are considering electric vehicles.
Since the start of this month, the war in Iran has pushed gasoline prices up sharply. And on the auto site Edmunds, the share of shoppers considering electric vehicles grew about 15% to its highest level all year. Now, searching for a vehicle is not the same as buying one. There are lots of factors in a purchase. Ivan Drury is the director of insights at Edmunds.
The answer to, you know, $5 gallon gas is not buying a $50,000 car, but it's definitely something that you should put in your consideration set.
But analysts say if prices remain high, it can push shoppers to put a higher value on fuel savings as they choose vehicles. Camilla Domonoske, NPR News.
The Department of Justice is seeking to dismiss charges against two former Louisville police officers involved in the deadly 2020 raid on Breonna Taylor's apartment. Louisville Public Media's Roberto Roldan has our reports.
Joshua Janes and Kyle Meany are facing misdemeanor charges for allegedly lying on the search warrant. The charges were initially brought by federal prosecutors under President Joe Biden, who argued that Janes and Meany included false information in the warrant application, directly leading to Taylor's death. The case has run into trouble in recent years. A federal judge has downgraded the charges against the two former officers twice, and the DOJ, under President Donald Trump, has backed off prosecuting any of the officers involved in the raid. The lawyers representing Janes and Meany are not opposing the dismissal, but it still needs to be approved by the judge. For NPR News, I'm Roberto Roldan in Louisville.
A federal judge Friday blocked the Trump administration's policy that limits news reporters' access to the Pentagon. In his ruling, U.S. District Judge Paul Friedman said key portions of the new rules are unlawful because they illegally restrict the press credentials of reporters who refused to follow the new rules. The New York Times sued the Pentagon and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth in December, saying the policy violates the reporters' constitutional rights to free speech and due process. The market dropped across the board on Friday. The Nasdaq was hit the most, down 2%. The Dow was down almost 1%. And you're listening to NPR News. A major humanitarian effort aimed at Cuba is now underway. Hundreds of delegates from 33 countries, including the U.S., are arriving on the island nation this weekend and delivering some 20 tons of aid. An advance group arrived on Wednesday, bringing supplies for hospitals. Cuba has been on the edge of collapse since President Trump imposed an energy embargo in January. A new study finds that humans and animals have shared acoustic tastes. NPR's Nate Rutt has more.
Animals make a lot of sounds to attract mates, and scientists know that some are more effective than others. Take the Pacific field cricket. That call is less appealing to other crickets than this one. And it turns out, according to the new study published in the journal Science, it's more appealing to people, too. Scientists had more than 4,000 volunteers listen to pairs of calls from 16 different species and pick which ones they preferred. Like, do you prefer this song sparrow? Or this one? And they found that overall, humans agreed with the animals' preferences, suggesting we share a sense of beauty with the natural world. Nate Rott, NPR News.
President Trump is now getting involved in college football. He issued an executive order Friday that bars the college football playoff and other postseason football games from airing during the annual Army-Navy matchup, which takes place on the second Saturday of December. The NCAA has been considering an expanded playoff system that would likely require an earlier start to the postseason games. I'm Dale Willman, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Lemelson Foundation, working to harness the power of invention and innovation to accelerate climate action and improve lives around the world. Learn more at lemelson.org. This is NPR.
This is Kansas Public Radio, your place for NPR news at the top of every hour and all night jazz. I'm Tom Parkinson. Let's start this hour with a group led by the drummer Scott Napoli with Ralph Alama on saxophones. This is one of Scott's compositions. He calls it Everything's Cool. Thank you.